Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into episode 200 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR Podcast Network. The Sources Say podcast is, as always, presented by our good friends at Justice Dental. You can make an appointment at one of two Lexington locations. That's on Wellington Way and Blazer Parkway. Now is a great time to schedule your dental cleaning. Remember that regular dental appointments are important for your overall health. You can learn more and make an appointment at justicedental.com. Dr. Justice and Dr. Thompson. Look forward to seeing you soon. I am your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio, live from Condado Tacos at the Summit at Fritz Farm. KSR is excited to partner with Condado for our Bahamas coverage. KSR will be on the scene at Baja Mar Resort as the Kentucky basketball team plays four games to get an early start preparing for the season. The Bahamas trip won't be all basketball, so follow along for all of the fun events at the resort as well. Stop in to see our friends at Condado to try some of their summer features like the mango guacamole or chicken bacon ranch taco. Yum! They've also got happy hour deals like the $6 house margaritas Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. We love tacos at KSR, so the partnership with Condado was perfect to fuel our crew for the big week of Bahamas coverage. Thanks, Condado, for this special edition, episode 200 of the Sources Say podcast. I brought on taco aficionado, none other than Drew Franklin of Kentucky Sports Radio. First off, Drew, how about that dinner? We just had a phenomenal dinner at Condado. We got tacos, we got margs. How did you enjoy your evening?
I loved it, and I've been wanting to come to this place for a while. They've been here in the Summit Fritz Farm for a long time, but I live on the other side of town, so it was nice to get over here. I will definitely be back, and I'm glad, I'm not telling on us, but might have had some to-go margs here, too, as we talk a little basketball.
We may be drinking those to-go margs as we are recording this, but don't tell anybody, but we will tell Condado that, because they are awesome. We had a blast talking to our waiter, Ethan.
Ethan.
Poured some of the best drinks I've had, and brought out some of the best food I've had in quite some time. So we are grateful for their partnership.
And I don't want to butt in. This is your show. But did I hear this is number 200? Because I need to give you a congratulations on 200. Loyal listener here who is, as the kind of the old head at KSR, very proud of what you've been doing for Sources Say, and I'm excited to be here for number 200. Episode.
Well, we're very grateful to have you on, and it's a big one because we are here to talk about Kentucky's open practice that we saw at Rupp Arena. It was a pretty much an exclusive practice for only the people that were there in person, because the TV coverage did not show a whole lot of basketball. So we were there. We got to see it in person. We had a great time watching it. So Drew, just kind of some of your early takeaways. What did you think of the Cats' performance in our first viewing of this season's team?
I felt like we were very lucky to be there in the room where it happened. I think a lot of people were left, not to pile on the broadcast, but there was a lot that wasn't seen. But you and I saw a lot of Antonio Reeves and Jacob Toppin. I know we keep saying those names over and over, but with being a unique team where you have an Oscar back and Wheeler back, we kind of know what those guys are. I mean, Oscar wasn't going to do anything in that scrimmage that was going to impress us any more than what he did last year in real games.
He did hit a three, though.
He did hit a three.
One three.
I'm not going to let that get carried away going into the year. And he did get a great ovation and signed autographs for 2 hours. But Jacob Toppin looked like a completely different human being than the Jacob Toppin we've seen since he's been here. He's had those hops forever. He has those Toppin genes. His dad's a street ball legend. We know he can dunk. But that jump shot looked like a guy who wants to go to the NBA.
Yeah, and I, you know, the talk last year was we've seen the spurts. He, you know, showed what he could do against Duke to open the season. You know, we saw little brief, you know, flashes of brilliance, but we never saw continued consistent growth. We didn't get to see long stretches. And, you know, part of it, Drew, I think, had to do with him playing behind Keon Brooks. You know, Keon played his role. He did it very well. You know, he did what he had to do during his time at Kentucky. But we've been waiting for kind of that breakthrough opportunity for Jacob. And I think we could see that kind of freedom with him playing on the floor, where he was, you know, taking shots in transition, hand in his face, corner threes. You know, he was bringing the ball up the floor and driving, dunking on people's heads. He had that windmill in transition. We just saw a side of Jacob Toppin that we just have not gotten the chance to see during his, I guess this is going on to his third year on campus here in Lexington.
Yeah, and to your point about being the guy, last year, I think late in the year, it was a fair debate, Brooks or Toppin, but that was Brooks' spot. He earned it. He had it most of the year. He was always going to be the starter. And when you're reserve, you know, you're just kind of waiting to be called. And when you're in, you're on a shorter leash. You're messing up, not having a good game. It's to the bench. But he's now training and going through this whole summer, coming off those NBA workouts, knowing I'm the guy. People have to come take my spot. And that confidence is showing. He's always been a confident guy, always been very outgoing, almost to a fault. I think Cal's even used the word immature a little bit because he kind of cuts up a little bit. Nothing too bad, but has that outgoing personality. Now he's doing that, but he's a veteran and a leader and has confidence in his game. And I think Kentucky fans are going to be very excited to see Jacob Toppin 2.0 in his senior season.
And we watched, we talked about Antonio Reeves and just kind of how he was the breakthrough, kind of, for my money, the MVP of last night's scrimmage, where, look, and coming from Illinois State, he was an 1,100 point per game, or not point per game, I wish he was an 1,100 point per game
impressive
scorer, but a career 1,100 point scorer, you know, averaged 20 points per game last season playing for Illinois State. We've seen, you know, what he could do at that level, but there were a lot of concerns about what he could do making that jump to the SEC, competing against that size, that length, that speed, that athleticism. Could he still be that dynamic three-level scorer that everybody kind of hyped him up to be last season? You know, he was seen as one of the top transfers in the transfer portal this offseason. Could he make that jump? And I talked to people behind the scenes close to the program that said, you know, actually, he has made a jump. The transition from Illinois State to Kentucky has been easier for Antonio Reeves than the transition from Davidson to Kentucky last season for Kellen Grady. Kellen didn't really show off what he could do until October. There was, you know, I remember Drew Pro Day, Cal kind of called out Kellen Grady in person, like on the national telecast, and said, yeah, Kellen just hasn't been enough for us and we need him to be bigger. And we were like, dang, we never hear Cal single out individual players the way he did. And obviously Kellen turned into the player that we, you know, knew and love, and he was that dagger three-point shooter for the majority of the season. But it's really good to see that with our own two eyes, Antonio Reeves was that three-level scorer, the confident, you know, break you down type of talent that could score on you at all three levels, but that even behind the scenes, the transition from Illinois State to Kentucky has not been too much to overcome.
Yeah, I've probably just in my own brain been a little unfair to him. I've had him just a little behind everyone else because you don't know, as you're saying, how a transfer is going to come from that conference to the SEC, where it might not be the best basketball, but it's the most athletic basketball in the country. And last night I went into that game, as I do every blue-white game or scrimmage or madness, saying don't overreact to anyone. I feel like there's years Derek Willis had 90 points, and you know there's always a false hope at these. I get to the Rupp Arena doors and I see the reflection of my face and I have this talk, don't overreact. But I get inside and just seeing how he was in control with the ball, because that's something that's, you know, seeing in a scrimmage in a game, that's something he's doing. And that showed me as a ball handler that that's a guy who can, heck, maybe can even back up Xavier Wheeler, which would be an insane lineup. But he mostly impressed me with just his moves and being in control and comfortable when the ball was in his hands.
Yeah, and you know, one of the other guys that really stood out to me, we've been waiting for this moment. There was so much hype about C.J. Frederick and his return to the floor, and you know, he dealt with his injuries at Iowa, and it's been a difficult road for him to actually make it onto the floor. We finally got to see with our own two eyes a live 5-on-5 scrimmage with C.J. Frederick present, and he was as advertised as a three-point shooter. He comes in as a 47% career three-point shooter coming from Iowa. And you really got to see that shooting confidence, the catch and shoot looks. You know, he was running baseline to baseline, looking for open looks. And every single time, whether they fell or not, he was no hesitation, ready to let that thing fly. I think there's a lot of pent up, almost like, you've held me off this damn court for way too long. I'm ready to let this sucker fly. It was his first chance to kind of let it all be known that, you know, yeah, I am the shooter that you guys hyped me up to be. So it was really cool seeing him be comfortable enough to get back on the floor. There wasn't hesitation with his leg, you know, with his hamstring issue that he dealt with last season. He was clearly confident running up and down that floor and ready to let those shots fly.
Yeah, he's in a unique spot because every year with the turnover Kentucky basketball, there's newcomers, usually five-star freshmen. Here recently you had transfers. But he's almost like a newcomer to us on the court. But, I mean, he's a guy that played a couple years at Iowa, been on the team, heck, played at Rupp Arena in high school. So he's a veteran. But just seeing him actually play basketball for the first time in what feels like forever last night was maybe my favorite takeaway. Toppin, Reeves, great seeing them. They're better than I expected right now. But just seeing C.J. Frederick run up and down the court freely after it was ripped away from him, we were there at the Champions Classic in New York with a fluke injury in warm-ups. To be where he is now, it's good. A long time in coming for him, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
How often do you get a red shirt? They introduced him. C.J. Frederick, redshirt senior, and he's a newcomer. Like, and he has three more years of eligibility. He's going to be a super, super, super senior by the time his Kentucky career ends. So I think this is his last year of normal eligibility. Then he'll have the COVID year, and then he will technically have to apply for that seventh year medical redshirt or whatever it will be. But this guy's going to be like 35 years old with six doctorates and just as many degrees and accolades as you could possibly ask for a basketball player. But, I mean, it's really unique to be a veteran the way he is while still being a newcomer. It's just a really weird dynamic, but one I'm sure Kentucky fans are grateful to have.
Yeah, and on a roster where there's a lot of pieces we're excited about, but you still – I mean, the way the game's played now, there's still a little shooting question marks. Having him really, I mean, he's going to be the shooter. Reeves looked good. Let's keep giving him credit. But CJ's definitely the guy that's going to stretch the floor. To see him last night, even in that setting that's not a real game, it's confident moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of shooters, I want to give credit to Kaysen Wallace. He's a guy that wasn't necessarily known as that shooter, but Drew, I thought his form was very pretty, and I thought he was very confident taking those things. He was doing a lot of little things too. That was kind of my other big takeaway of this whole scrimmage, was that they were actually trying. I remember last year that players first fantasy players experience, whatever they wanted to call it, at Transylvania, it was, you know, they scrimmaged, but it was not a scrimmage. It was a full court layup line. They were just throwing down ridiculous dunks and having a good time. We didn't get to really see what that team was last year. It ended up being very good, but we just didn't get a real preview of that. Yesterday, I thought they were getting after it. They were, you know, diving for loose balls. They were, you know, the ball was going out of bounds. They were jumping and launching it back in. Like, they were seriously trying to put on a show in front of those fans. And I thought Kaysen Wallace was one of those guys that he was, you know, diving for loose balls. He was jumping the passing lanes, trying to get steals. You got to see that defensive intensity that everybody hyped him up to be. But I was more so impressed with his three-point shot. That was the one thing people just didn't know if he could bring that to the table. And I thought his three-point shot looked, you know, more than capable.
I'm so excited for Kaysen Wallace. Like you said, the three was like the only question mark. To be his age and have the commitment to defense he does is not normal. This summer went to Frankfurt, the camps. You know, you did most of them. I covered the one he did where we interviewed him and asked him, like, 18 years old, high school blue chip. It's not normal to have a commitment to defense. And he said at a young age, his dad told him, like, look, most of the kids at these tournaments can score. What's going to make you, Kaysen Wallace, and separate yourself from the pack is committing to stopping someone from scoring on you. And it's clear he takes that to heart, and it's just so unique for him. And then to add the other stuff, I didn't follow him closely in high school, but I watched that Jordan game, and he had an insane dunk, acrobatic play. I just think he's going to be a guy that can do just about everything that's asked of him, and he'll be a team player and willing, because everything we've talked to him about to this point, he's showing that.
And, you know, while we're talking about the freshman, I thought Chris Livingston, I was wanting to see a little more from him, I think. I like what he brought. You know, physically, he looked the part, 6'7", 225-ish pounds. He looks like an NBA player right now. He had a couple of makes from three, but we really didn't get to see a whole lot of kind of, you know, baby LeBron is kind of what he's known for being, the kid from Akron. They even introduced him as just another kid from Akron or whatever. So we were waiting to kind of see that get downhill and use that – big physical frame to go dunk on somebody's head. I was wanting to see a little bit more from him, but, you know, I was glad to see him make a couple three-point attempts. But a guy that kind of stood out to me was Adu Thiro, who I've heard behind the scenes he's going through some growing pains physically because he still continues to grow. I've heard he's up to like 6'7 now, and doctors are thinking he could get as big as 6'10 when all is said and done. And you're talking about a guy that I don't think the staff just really even knows what he is yet, because, you know, what do you do with a guard, you know, a kid that grew up as a guard? You know, we've heard this story before as Kentucky fans. A kid that grows up as a guard has all the guard skills in the world and then shoots up to 6'10. Like, what do you do with that kid? What position is he? You know, what will he end up being? So I think there's a kind of a cautious optimism and excitement within the coaching staff about just what the heck Adu Thiro can be. And you got to see a lot of that on display last night. He was, you know, not afraid to, you know, pick your pocket, jump the passing lanes, get some steals. He was just kind of wreaking havoc. You didn't get to see a whole lot from him offensively, but he made his presence known in his short time on the floor. Adu Thiro is a guy that I'm pretty excited about, Drew.
Yeah, I think we all realize he's a little longer term. No one's going to, you know, in the Gonzaga game, say put Thiro in. But I was impressed just how he looked physically muscular. Like, for a guy straight out of high school, unranked, not much about him, looked like a dude that had been on campus for a while. And I found it interesting. We got to talk to Coach O and Chin Coleman last week, and someone, I don't remember who, just gave a very general question to Chin Coleman, like, what's just been your surprise this summer? Not leading him in any direction. And he named a dude just physically and athletically how he was even better than they expected. As you said, still growing. My goodness, what could that end up being? If it's anything like the player we're kind of hinting at in the past, I hope the ending to the Kentucky storybook's the same way. But he's definitely a project you want to have on your bench.
Yeah, you know, we breaking down the entire roster. You know, obviously Oscar Tshiebwe did Oscar Tshiebwe things. Xavier Wheeler did Xavier Wheeler things. I really liked, you know, his finishing ability at the rim. He had a lot of crafty finishes, and you know, kind of was clearly wanting to embrace the "I'm the veteran of this team, I'm kind of the fan favorite." You know, Xavier, he was doing those pull ups on the rim there at the end, and he was really trying to play along with the crowd. And you know, Oscar Tshiebwe is Oscar, and he hit that 3-pointer, but he did a whole lot of the same stuff that we've seen from him. He clearly looked like the same dominant player that we have known to love. The only guy that we were really missing, Lance Ware, was out due to injury. Cal didn't specify what that injury was.
Yeah, he did.
What was that?
The mama's boy.
Oh, he said, yeah. Cal came out and said, yeah, we don't really want to talk about what it is, but he's a mama's boy, so he'll figure it out. So clearly not too worried about the injury future of Lance Ware. I don't think there's anything serious going on there.
And Cal wouldn't be calling him mama's boy if it was something serious. That it's, you know, Cal in game does a lot of yelling. That's his style. But just him and Ware with that little back and forth mama's boy tells me they're on a good page, and whatever Lance has going on is something they can be playful with.
And the only other guy that was missing, Uganah Kingsley Onyenso, who just announced his commitment on Monday. Very excited about his addition. He will be joining the team on August 20th. He will not be making the Bahamas trip, unfortunately. That was something that we had talked about on this show several times, that it's just too complicated to get him on campus, get, you know, all of the – he's coming in as a foreign student. He's going through the same visa situation that Oscar did, and getting him out of the country again and getting him back in while still trying to juggle, you know, the enrollment process and all that. Just it didn't add up time wise. So definitely looking forward to seeing him get on campus here to close out August. But to wrap up the show, Drew, just kind of what was that evening like? Just from a, you know, a donation perspective, Kentucky raises over $2.4 million, I believe. As of this show, it's over $3 million that they've raised now. Just a really cool telethon event that they put together on such short notice. We got a couple big breaking news segments as that event went on. We get a home-and-home scheduled with Gonzaga, and then we also get the blue-white game scheduled for, I believe, Pikeville. It's what they're trying to do, but it's going to be somewhere in eastern Kentucky to kind of raise awareness and money for flood victims down there. It's a really cool idea that the Kentucky basketball team had. Just kind of your thoughts on the evening and the news that came out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise Cal did a telethon and the team. I know this was player-led, especially with C.J. Frederick. He's not from Eastern Kentucky, but he has close personal relationships in Eastern Kentucky. I know how much that area means to him. But my brain just can't quit thinking about how, especially the guys that were on last year's team, Frederick, Toppin, Wheeler, Oscar, like, they just did a telethon for Kentucky not even a year ago. That's not normal. Like, these guys moved here to be part of this program, and they're on their second telethon. people shouldn't have to do two telethons in a lifetime, and they're on their second one in 9 months. It's amazing they're doing it, and the response has been great. They didn't even get done passing out the money from the last one, but I just wonder what that does to these players, even Cal and everyone else, emotionally. Like, that's just the stuff that this state has gone through, and they're thinking, well, here we are, we're called again, we have to step up and do this. And it's amazing that they've done it, but my brain just thinks, like, that has to be so just on their shoulders that in 9 months they've done two telethons for opposite side of the states for very, very significant tragedies and devastation to Kentucky.
Yeah, it'd be so easy for them to just be like, eh, we put all of our effort and we did all the PR stuff necessary with the first devastation. And, you know, it would have been so easy for them to just go, eh, we already went all in on one. We don't need, we could send out some tweets and do all that.
We built our goodwill already.
Yeah, you already got all the good PR moves. It would have been very easy for them to just kind of, say, eh, we'll leave somebody else to take care of this one. But no, the team went forward. CJ Frederick was the one that kind of started the meeting, and everybody else kind of rallied around him and said, this isn't going to happen. We need to go all in with this the same way that we did for Western Kentucky with the tornado relief. We need to go all in with this. And the way it came together so quickly, and that's kind of the power of John Calipari. I know everybody, there's been a lot of criticism of him lately and just kind of the way last season ended and the way the whole season, the year before that went. There's a lot of kind of backlash from the fan base, and I think just in the way he has kind of rallied the last year in particular to do things like this and to spread awareness and use this platform for genuine good, this is what makes John Calipari special and why I don't think that there's anybody else out there could fill that seat the way that he has done.
Yeah, and with these telethons everywhere, trying to think of how to word this because not to downplay anyone's generosity, but a lot of times these numbers, it's a very wealthy donor is matched or a corporation. You make one phone call and it covers a big part of that number. But Cal said earlier in the week, he's like, I just did that. I cannot do that again. I can't call my rich friends 9 months later and ask again. This is going to have to be the fan base. Obviously, the fan base reacted like everyone expected. We learned through our tornado relief KSR, the amount of donations, individual donations, so much more impressive than a big donation. But Cal talking about, like, I can't call these people again. Then he tweets this morning that Anthony Davis called him.
Yeah.
He called Anthony Davis in December, said, hey, tornado hit, we need your help. This time he's like, I'm not doing it. But Anthony Davis in L.A. or wherever, doing what he's got going on, probably the busiest man that can be right now, he hears about it and volunteers. It's like Cal doesn't even have to make those phone calls. Yeah. This program and this culture, I hate even saying it because it's one of the Cal bingo cards, but the servant leadership,
yeah,
that's one of his bingos, he says it so much, but there really is something to that these guys that have been gone for years know that, hey, I have to be a part of this because this is bigger than just Kentucky basketball.
Yeah, I mean, this is what makes Cal special. $350,000 from Anthony Davis. I mean, just absolutely absurd. Just all of the all-in effort that we get to see with this program. It's absolutely special, and we got to see that on full display last night. The T-shirts, the telethon, the fans wrapped around the building to get into this event. I mean, you can't stress enough just how many fans were there to witness that, to be a part of something special. It was just a really cool event that I'm glad, personally, that I'm glad that I was able to be a part of. I know you thought the same thing, but what a heck of a way to get started with this Bahamas tour. I mean, just a perfect lead up. You do a really good thing, get our first glance at the team, then you get the Bahamas coverage next week, 4 exhibition games against professional teams and national teams down there. It's going to be a great experience. And then season's right around the corner, Drew. I know that's something that we're very, after the way last season ended, the poor taste that got left in our mouth after a very successful, productive season, I think that the entire fan base is just ready to get back on that floor and kind of prove that, yeah, we belong back in that national title conversation. And what we saw last night, I clearly think that this team's going to be in that conversation once again.
Yeah, I've closed the door on last year. It lingered longer than it should have, but it's unfair and it's a disservice to the current team and what they're excited about, what they're training for, to keep looking backwards. That was obviously painful, and we won a much better year. I will say there'll be a lot more stock on the NCAA tournament this year. There's going to be a lot more of counting down to that. But to this team, it would not be right to keep bringing that up. And I'm excited about what I saw last night. I'm excited what I'm going to see next week in the Bahamas. To be honest, I'm surprised if they'll play, because if I'm those other 4 teams, if I saw that practice, I'm not showing up. But I think we're going to have an exciting basketball season, and it's due with the way the last one ended.
Well, with that, let's get the heck out of here. Thank you again for, just to start with, 200 episodes, 200 shows of listeners. The numbers continue to be absolutely phenomenal. We're grateful for each and every one of you. And more importantly, well, not more importantly, equally importantly, because everything is kind of an all-in effort here with the show. We appreciate each and every one of you. But special shout out to our very phenomenal partners, Condado Tacos at the Summit of Fritz Farm. Unbelievable night here and our debut kind of kickoff partnership with them. Had a great night of tacos and margaritas and chips and queso, and it was just a great time. Definitely appreciate them, and once again, shout out Justice Dental. You guys have been there from the very beginning, and appreciate that partnership as well. So with that, we'll be back next time for the Jam Packed Sources Say podcast. We will see you then.
Guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.